Okay, we're beginning here on the bottom of Chof Dalet Amud Bet, three lines from the bottom. Itmar Eglar Ufa Ematai Neseret. When it comes to the Eglar Ufa, what's the point in time where it becomes Asura, meaning that you designate something to be an Eglar Ufa? What is the threshold point at which it becomes Asur Bahana'a? Because it's not like Hekdesh or Kodoshim, by where you're actually articulating the Hekdesh associated with it. There must be some action that is taken at which point there's a threshold and the item becomes designated or delineated for Eglah Rufa and it becomes already Surah Behana'a. Rav Nuna claims Mechaim, when it's alive already. He doesn't give any definition to that. We'll see in a second how we deal with that. Rav Amar Lachar Arifa. Rav says that only after the performance of the mitzvah associated with the Eglah Rufa does it become Asurah Behana'a. So the Gemara says, Bishlam Rava Me'idna Dita Avid Be'Maseh. For Rava, it's very clear that it has to do with the threshold of doing the action on the Eglah Rufa that triggers the Surah Hana'a. So that is something that's understandable because, of course, if you perform the mitzvah, then the Eglah Rufa becomes something that is now designated for that particular purpose and can't be used or utilized for anything else. So once the Rufa is done, then it's clearly Asurah Bahana'a. Ela the Rav Amnuna Me'matai. According to Rav Amnuna, where it's Mechayim, what is that threshold? He says when it's alive, at what point? Sa'ama Rabbi Yanai Gvul Shamati Ba. I heard some threshold, v'shachachti, and I forgot what that threshold was. Now, there are two points that you can really think of as being the thresholds, and that's because the Torah gives instructions. Once you figure out which city is the city that needs to deal with the Eglah Rufa, there's one command, which is v'lachu ziknei ha'ir, ha'i et Eglat Bakar. So that's the first Sivoy, and then the second Sivoy in the subsequent pasuk is Vehoridu Ziknei Ha'ir Ahi Et Eglah Nachaleitan. So those are two thresholds where you could assume the psukim are indicating that there's something unique about this Eglah Arufa, and that's probably what is driving Rabbi Yanai's safek, is whether it is V'lachu Ziknei Ha'ir or Horidu Ziknei Ha'ir. It says V'naspin Chavraya L'meimar, and he said that my friends, my peers, were pressing in this direction to say Yurita L'Nachaleitan Osarta. Taking it down to the dry riverbed is what makes it Asura. And that's the second of the Tzivuim there, which is V'horidu Ziknei Ha'ir Ahi Et Eglah El Nachaleitan. So that's the trigger for making it Asura Bahana'a. Amar Rav Amnuna, Mina Amin Allah. I can show you that I'm right about this. That not. We have a Mishnah that says, Shuchet Parat Chatat, Shor Niskal, V'Eglah Arufa. This is from Chulin, and over there, Rabbi Shimon Poter, V'Chachamim Mechayvin. Rabbi Shimon says that there's nothing wrong with those animals, whereas the Chachamim say they have a problem. The problem is that this is found in Oto Ved Beno, in Masechet Chulin, whereby the mother was already shechting on that day. Now you're shechting beyond the mother, the child of that mother, and you'll be in violation of Oto Ved Beno. Rabbi Shimon, in general, is of the opinion that only a Shechita HaRe'uya makes you chayav. And so the shechita has to be a shechita that you could eat from, otherwise it's not classified as a shechita. The chachamim don't have that opinion. And therefore over here, where the second animal that was shechted was either a parat chatat, which is a parat duma, shor niskal, which is a shor that already had a verdict that it was going to be put to death, either for killing someone or other avirot of bestiality that caused that. The eglah rufa is obviously our case over here. Rabbi Shimon is poter and says you're not in violation of Oto Ved Beno. And Chachamim say you are in violation of Oto Ved Beno. So he says, Bishlam alididi. So Rav Hamnuna says, according to my understanding, the Amina Mechayim, that I say while it's still alive, it becomes a surah, I believe Rabbi Shimon Rabbono, that's the machlok between them. Rabbi Shimon savar shchita shein ruya lo shma shchita. Shchita that doesn't result in an edible item in the end is not called a shchita. And that's because they're shechting it after they took it down to Nachal Eitan, before they did the Arifa. And that's a time period where it's already Asur Bahana'a. If it's Asur Bahana'a and you shecht it, that's a shchita shein ruya. Therefore, you're not in violation of Oto Ve'e Beno. Rabbono namre shchita shein ruya shma shchita. Rabbono say that that's still classified as a shchita. May not be a shechita re'uya, but it's still a shechita, and you're going to be chayav for shechting Oto Ved Beno. Eliyah Marta Charaf Arifa, if you hold like you, Rava, that it's only after the Arifa that it becomes a Surah Bana'a, Amai Patar Rabbi Shimon, then why is Rabbi Shimon poter you from Oto Ved Beno over here? Shechita re'uyahi. Then it would be a shechita re'uya if it's done prior to the Arifa. B'chitayma, so now what are you going to tell me? Sava Rabbi Shimon Egla B'shechita She'ira. You're going to tell me that an Eglah Arufa, when you do Shechita on it, that's a ksheira, meaning that that will replace or function as the arifa for the egel arufa, and therefore the shkita is eniruya because it functions like the arifa, makes it a surah b'ana, v'atanan. Have a mishnah again in Kulin, kasher v'para pasul v'egla. That which works for the para duma does not work for the egla arufa. Pasul v'para, that which is disqualified by the para duma, kasher v'egla arufa, works by the egla arufa. And here is the definition of what those are. Para b'shchita ksheira. The para duma requires shchita, barifa, psula. If it's done with breaking the back of its neck, that doesn't work. It's psula. And egla barifa ksheira. And egla rufa is just the opposite, that the arifa works, shchita, psula. If shchita is done to it, it's not successful at doing the arifa or that which needs to be done for it. So you can't make the claim that shchita is just a replacement for the arifa and we'll just deem it to be an arifa. Ishtik Rava was left silent by this claim of Rav Nuna. The Batu Denafak, after Rav Nuna left, Amar Mai Taima Lo Aminale. Why didn't I tell him to Rabbi Shimon Savar Eglav Shkita Ksheira? Yeah, the mission that you quoted is the Rabbanon's position. But Rabbi Shimon disagrees and thinks that an Eglav Shkita does work. In that way, I could have undermined the proof of Rav Nuna. So the Gemara answers on behalf of Rav Nuna. Rav Nuna Amar Lecha, he would say back to you, Lo Nishtamit Tano. We don't find any Tana, Dinishmaim, Egla B'Shchita K'sheira. We don't find any Tanaic position in the Mishnayot, maybe even in the Braitot, that say that an Egla Rufa B'Shchita is K'sheira, I mean it works to be an Egla Rufa. The Tema, that then you can say on top of that, Rabbi Shimoni, that that author or that position is Rabbi Shimon. So what the Gemara is pointing out is that even though Rava is trying to make a suggestion to differentiate between the Chachamim and Rabbi Shimon, we still don't have any position by which we can attribute that to Rabbi Shimon. We don't find a Tanaic position like that. So if you don't find any Tanaic position like that to speculate that Rabbi Shimon would say that the Shchita of an Egla Rufa would function as the Arifa, is just that, speculation. There's no evidence of that fact. Therefore, the Mishnah that we brought seems to be normative, in that the arifa is what's needed by the egla rufa, not a shchita. Therefore, Rav Amnuna says, my position makes sense that the surei hana'a take place before the arifa, while it's still alive, and then I could explain that machloki between Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim in the Mishnah of Oto Be'et Beno as to why Rabbi Shimon thinks you're patur and the Chachamim think you are chayav. Now, Rava says, once again here, the Shita Mekubetzet changes it to Amar Rava instead of Amar Rava. Amar Rava menamin Allah. I have my evidence from our Mishnah here in Kretot, because the Mishnah says, Egla Arufa Eina Kein. Egla Arufa is distinct from the Asham Talui, and even maybe the Asham Badai, because Im Achalo Nerfa, before the Arifa happens, Tetzei Vitire Beider, he goes out and grazes in the rest of the flock, meaning that's Chulin the Gamre. Via Mart Michaim, if you tell me it already becomes problematic when it's still alive, why do you have the right to make it into chulin? If it is already a surah b'ana'a, and then you find out that you don't need to do the egla arufa, then it should remain a surah b'ana'a. It doesn't dissipate all of a sudden. And if it's already a surah b'ana'a, that doesn't go away. According to me, who says that doesn't happen until the arifa, that's why it goes to chulin, because it's still not a surah b'ana'a. Ha'itzara la mechayim. And according to you, it already was a surah mechayim, and therefore, why should it be allowed to become chulin? So t'nei, emend our Mishnah to read, Achelon Nir'et La'arifa, that not until had its arifa, but rather, until it was ra'ui for arifa, until the point where it was available to have the arifa done, which is the point when you take it down to Nachaletan, that's when you can do the arifa. So he takes it a step back and adds in this language to the Mishnah to make it that the Mishnah is not speaking about arifa literally, but rather the ability or the opportunity to do arifa, which would then accord with Rav Amnuna's position that the Isur already happens prior to that point in time. Where it says, Ema Seifa, well, Rav says, what about the latter part over there? It says, Mishne Erfa, Tikaver Bimkoma. After Arifa, it's buried on location, in place, because it's already a Surah B'Hana'a, but that shows you that the Arifa is the threshold for making it a Surah B'Hana'a. So today, again, emend the Mishnah to read, Mishinir Eit Arifa. Once it already was ra'ui the arifa, meaning that you took it down to Nachlaitan, then it becomes asurah b'ana, imkain. So then how do you explain the last line in the Mishnah then, what it says, Ema Seifa, Chala Safek Ba'a Mitchila. The whole point of bringing the egla rufa is to deal with something that is uncertain, kipra, sveika, v'halchala. Then once you've done the arifah, the sveik kapara has been attained, and therefore, even if at that point you find out who the murderer is, or that it wasn't necessary, it served its purpose, because its whole purpose was that it started misafek, and once you've already done that, it did what it was supposed to do. V'imei chayim adayin lo kipra sveikata. While it's still alive, it's clear that nobody believes that the kapara is attained. Even if you believe that the isur hana'ah starts from the point in time when it's yiridata, the nachleitan, when you take it down to nachleitan, still nobody believes the kapara is attained at that point. Kapara can only happen at the point of arifa. That then ruins that whole explanation that was given in our Mishnah by doing those emendations to change the Mishnah to make the threshold yiridah the nachleitan. The problem is the last line in the Mishnah is not supportive of that contention, because the Mishnah says the kapara for safek is the purpose here, and that is surrounding arifa, and that means that the Mishnah is speaking about arifa as being the threshold and not something michayim. And so this is supportive of Rava's contention that the isur hana'ah starts from the point in time when the arifa happens, not from michayim when it's still alive, according to the way the Rav Hamnuna explains it, that it is yiridata the nachleitan. So now Rav Hamnuna has to deal with this problem, and he says tanaihi actually is a machloket tanaim. Enoch Hanami, the Mishnah here, is supportive of your contention, Rava, but I have another Tanaic position that's supportive of me, Tatanya. Nemer machshir u'michaper bifnim. When it comes to in the Mikdash, we have machshirim and michaprim. Machshirim are things that facilitate one's ability to re-enter the machaneh, to get rid of tumah, to be able to eat kodesh, to enter into the Mikdash. And you have michaper, things that provide atonement. So machshir bifnim is when you bring like an asham mitzora, an asham nazir. Those are types of korbanot that are machshirim. Those are things that facilitate those individuals terminating their nazirot, ending their tumat mitzora. So that is a machshir. Michaper are regular chataot and ashamot that are brought to atone. There is this parallel of machshir and michaper bifnim. B'nemer machshir u'michaper b'chutz. Similarly, we have machshirim and we have michaprim outside of the Mikdash. Machshirim outside the Mikdash are the Tziporei Mitzora. It's brought at the beginning of Parshat Mitzora, the beginning of the process of the Tara for the Mitzora, is that he brings two birds that are processed outside of the Mikdash. You shecht one, and two blood goes into the water, and then you take the Shni Tolat, the Eitzei Erez, and the Ezov, and you dip it into the dam along with the Tzipor HaChaya. And then you send away the Tzipor HaChaya and you sprinkle with the dam that's found in the water on the Mitzora. So that process of the Tzipurei Mitzora is a machshir. It's what facilitates the Mitzora starting his count for 7 days in order to finish off his process of Tahara. That's a machshir b'chutz. We also have michaprim b'chutz, things that bring kapara b'chutz. One of which is the Seir HaMishtalayach on Yom HaKippurim. The other one is the Egla Arufa, which we're reading about, which speaks of Kaper Lamcha Yisrael Asher Padita, that it provides Kapara Bachutz. So here you have both Machshir Bifnim and Mechaper Bifnim. You also have Machshirim Bachutz and Mechaprim Bachutz. Now, this is the structure that the Braita is suggesting. Ma Machshir u'Mechaper Amur Bifnim Asabo Machshir k'Mechaper. Just like Bifnim in the Mikdash, the Machshirim function and are processed in the exact same way that the Mechaprim are processed. Just like a mechaper has rules with regards to ashamot and chataot mibifnim, so too the machshirim follow those same rules. So when you bring an asham mitzora and an asham nazir, you're bringing something similar to any other asham that is brought. It's not differentiated in any way. Af machshir u'michaper amor b'chutz, so too when you have a machshir and a mechaper outside of the mikdash, asa machshir k'michaper. That makes the machshir, the tzipurei mitzora, should be no different than the Mechaprim, which would be the Seir Mishtaleach, and the Egla Arufa. That's the Breita. How that's a proof to Rav Hamnuna's position, Rashi suggests the following. Heichi, the Gamar Machshir mi Mechaper, just like the Breita suggests over here that you can learn a Machshir from a Mechaper, Yalif Mechaper mi Mechaper. Then, Koshakan, you can learn one Mechaper from another Mechaper. And it turns out, outside of the Mikdash, we have two Mechaprim that work. One is Seir Mishtaleach on Yom HaKippurim. The other one is the Egla Arufa. And by the Seir Mishtaleach for Yom HaKippurim, we know for certain that it's already Asur Michayim. It already has an Isur Hana'ah while it's still alive. That's because it was one of two Seirim on which the lots were thrown, for one of them to be a Seir Lashem, the other one to be the Seir Mishtaleach. And so they both had been Nitkadesh. They were already sanctified, and then they're just designated for what their purpose is. That means you're dealing with something that's Hekdesh. Something that's Hekdesh is already Asura Mechayim, already has an Isur Hana'ah before wherever the process that needs to be done to it is done. So Seir Mishtaleach, just like it has a Isur Hana'ah Mechayim, so too the Egla Rufa, which is also a Mechaper Bachutz, will have an Isur Mechayim. And that's his evidence of the fact that there is a Tano or a Breita that says, not like our Mishnah, that the Isur Hana'ah begins at the Arifah, but rather begins at an earlier time while the animal is still alive. And that's what Rav Amnuna will say, that this Tanaic position is the one that I'm following. And so yes, the Mishnah might not say this here, but I have a Tano who I'm following, and that position is just as valid as the one that's found in the Mishnah here in Kretot. Now, that's the way Rashi explains it. Tosafot is somewhat reticent to accept that explanation. He brings Rashi's explanation. He says, V'dochak, it's a very difficult explanation, because he basically says, Ikar chaser min ha-sefer. If the whole point here is to tell you that Mechaper equals Mechaper, meaning that Egla Rufa equals Seir Mishtaleach, then it should have said that. It should have just brought you the pieces of the Braita that say Machshir is like Mechaper. It should say Mechaper is like Mechaper, because that's the key element of what's the limud over here according to Rav Amnuna. That's Tosafot's problem with Rashi's explanation. And his more fundamental question is, Minolan Dimityasre Mechaim. How do you know that it is Asur Mechaim? Where do you have evidence of this fact that it is Asura Mechaim, that you can say that the Machshir of the birds of Mitzorah teach you something about the Mechaper? That just like the birds of the Mitzorah are Mechaim, that the Mechaper, the Egla Rufa, is also Mechaim. So that's why Tosafot brings Rashi's answer and says Dochak, and then he says, Farabeinu Mifaresh, the Machshir Bechutz, Hainu Mishulechet. The Machshir Bechutz that we're speaking about here is the bird that you shoo away. It's actually not the bird that you're going to shecht, but rather the bird that you're going to shoo away. The Egla Rufa is Asura Behana'a. That Isur Hana'a teaches you from a Mechaper to the Machshir, which is the birds of the Mitzorah. So now the birds of Mitzorah are now Asurim Behana'a, because we know that from Egla Rufa. Then the birds tell you that they are Asura Mechaim. They're Asura already when they're alive. So too, the Egla Rufa is also going to be Asura Mechaim. That's the limud that Tosafot says goes on. It's a bidirectional limud. We learn from Egla Rufa, the Isur Hana'a, and then we learn Mechaim from the birds of the Mitzorah. And then he brings a number of ways as to how we know that the birds are Asurim Hana'a, one of which would be that if you have the bird that you're going to shoo away, that's going to be Asur B'Hana'a, it's either going to be Asur B'Hana'a before you send it away. Once you've sent it away, there's no longer an Isur Hana'a. That the Gemara learns that it can't be L'Takala, that you can't send something away where there's no identifying mark, and then people are going to pick up this Asur Hana'a and get themselves in trouble. So it must be that once you send it away, the Isur Hana'a drops away. That means that it has to be that the bird of the Mitzorah that's Mishulechet is already Asur Mechaim. That's one way to learn it. The other way he says is that you don't need it to teach you that the shechted bird is Asur B'Hana'a after the Shechita, because of other psukim that indicate things that are processed for Hekdesh, once they are shechted, that they become Asurim B'Hana'a. So if you already have a source for that, then this has to be teaching you some other item of Isur Hana'a, that only it could be Chaim, when it's already alive. And therefore we'll know by the Tzipor that is being shechted, that the Isur Hana'a has to take place in Chaim. And since the birds are paired together, Misvaru, we can say that just like the Shchuta is Asura Mechaim, so too is the Mishulechet, the one that's being sent away. So Tosafot tries to find other ways to identify why the birds are considered Asura Mechaim. And then once you do that, he applies it to Egla Arufa. So because that fits the language of the Braita much better than the way Rashi does it. The difficulty is Tosafot has to come up with a way that he knows that the birds are Asura Mechaim. Rashi's methodology is missing from the Gemara, but it's a much simpler methodology, which is, you have the Seir Mishtaleach, where we know for sure it's Asur Mechaim. So, just like the Mechaper there is Asur Mechaim, so too the Mechaper of the Egla Rufa is Asur Mechaim. It's a Koshikain. If you can learn from Machshirim to Mechaprim, obviously you can learn from one Mechaper to another Mechaper. So those are the two different ways to learn this, that Rashi and the Baalei Tosafot suggest, as how do we get this Tana that believes that it's Asur Mechaim with Egla Rufa. Alright. Now we're back to a Mishnah that we saw earlier in the Masechta, because we quoted the position of Rabbi Eliezer, as well as the position of Ben Buta, who are mentioned in this Mishnah, and we quoted them back on Daf Yud Chet when we discussed this issue. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Mitadev Adam, Hashem Taloi, B'chol Yom. Person can on a voluntary basis bring an Hashem Taloi every day. U'b'chol Eit, Shir Tzeh. Not only any day, but at any time he wants. So we're going to see in a second that that comes to negate the other positions over here. Huaya Nikra Hashem Chasidim. And the name of it is the Hashem of the Chasidim, because those that were Chasidim used to bring a daily Hashem Taloi to take care of all their issues or things that they were felt guilty about or thought that they might have done in Aveira. They used to bring an Hashem Taloi to provide at least protection from punishment, but maybe even kapara in those situations. That is Rabbi Eliezer's view. Amru alav al Baba ben Buta. They say about Baba ben Buta, she'emit nadev Hashem Taloi b'chol yom. He followed this view of Rabbi Eliezer and used to bring an Hashem Taloi every day, chutz me'achar yom ha'kippurim yom echad, except for the day after Yom HaKippurim, where he didn't bring an Hashem Taloi. And he says about himself, Amar, Baba ben Buta says about himself, Hama'on hazeh can be either by the name of this Mikdash, or the way that the Rabbeinu Gershom says it, by the one who shochein shchinato b'mikdash hazeh, he's taking a shvua. It's either a shvua by the Mikdash, or the shvua by the Hashem who shochein b'mikdash hazeh. Ilu ha'yom anichim li, had they allowed me to do it, hayiti mevi, I would have brought it on Motzei Yom HaKippurim as well. Elo omrim li, they say to me, himtin achi tikanes the beit ha'safek. You have to wait at least a little bit, so there's a possibility that you've done something wrong before you bring in Hashem Taloi. So even though you're bringing it every day, at least every day, there's time for you to do something wrong. Here on Motzei Yom HaKippurim, you just attained kaparat avonot. How could it be that you're so ready to bring an Hashem Taloi so quickly right after you have finished Yom HaKippurim? Similar to the question about why we say Slach Lanu in Shmoneh Esrei right after Yom HaKippurim, if we just attained Kaparat Avonot, why are we saying Slach Lanu so quickly afterwards? And that's true also by Verhu Rachum Yichaper Avon. So why are we mentioning those things immediately after Yom HaKippurim? So it's the same thing they're pointing out to him. You can't bring an Hashem Taloi immediately after Yom HaKippurim. Although he obviously felt differently, and he thought like Rabbi Eliezer, that you can bring it, b'chol yom, u'b'chol eit, shir tzeh. B'chol yom means every day, including Motzei Yom HaKippurim. B'chol eit, shir tzeh means not only every day, you can bring them multiple times a day, you can bring an Hashem Taloi. So what the Gemara is going to develop here is that there are three different positions in our Mishnah. We've seen actually two positions so far, and the third position is v'chachamim amim. The only time you bring an Hashem Taloi is if you have a safek regards to something that had you done it b'mezid, you'd be chayav karet, and you did it unintentionally and knew about it, you'd be chayav a chatat. For a safek on that matter, there you bring a Hashem Taloi. So now, obviously the Chachamim's position is what we know, or what we think of an Hashem Taloi, which is it comes for a safek chatat that has a zdonot karet. Now we have two other positions. The other extreme is Rabbi Eliezer, who says basically it's a korban nidava. It's a voluntary offering. It's not necessarily particularly associated with chet. It has an aspect of haganah, has an aspect of kapara, but it still is a korban that you can bring on a voluntary offering without any prerequisite or without any trigger to have to bring it. And that means you can bring it any day, any time, any amount of times that you want to bring it, you can bring it. That's the view of Rabbi Eliezer, and obviously Bava ben Buta subscribes to that, and that's his practice. There is a third opinion here in the Mishnah, and that is what the Gemara is going to term as Amru Lo. They said to him, in the Mishnah, it's Bava ben Buta speaking, so he says Amru Li, they said to me. The Gemara is going to term that as the Amru Lo opinion, which is an opinion that somewhat agrees with Rabbi Eliezer. They agree you can bring it on a voluntary basis, but they say there has to be some michush of chet. You have to have some reason to believe that you've done something wrong, or the possibility that you did something wrong, before you bring it. So there is some prerequisite for that, and that's why they refused to allow him to bring it on Motzei Yom HaKippurim, because there you weren't beit safek. You hadn't reached a point where there is reason to be beit safek that would thereby necessitate the bringing of an Hashem Taloi. So those are the three opinions we have. And then the Mishnah continues with other issues with regards to an Hashem Taloi. Chayvei chatot v'ashamot v'adayin. Someone who is chayav to bring a chatat or an Hashem vadai, she'avar alehem Yom HaKippurim. Yom HaKippurim passes. You have to bring it after Yom HaKippurim. Or in essence, Yom HaKippurim is mechaper on avonot. It is mechaper on sins. It can provide atonement. What it can't do is discharge obligations. You have an obligation to bring a korban. Yom HaKippurim can't discharge that obligation for you. It can maybe provide kapara. It might even provide haganah. It'll protect you until you do bring the korban, but you still need to bring the korban. It's like when you owe money. Yom HaKippurim doesn't absolve you of the need to pay back money that you owe to people. It just is mechaper on the avon that is associated with it. But in the end, you need to repay the money in order to attain that proper kapara. And so to over here, if you have an obligation to bring a korban, that obligation remains even post Yom HaKippurim. On the other hand, chayavei hashamot tluin piturim. If you go into Yom Kippur and you're chayav and hasham taloi, when you exit Yom HaKippurim, you're no longer obligated to bring an hasham taloi. And that is because the point of the hasham taloi is not to provide definitive kapara, it is to provide haganah or protection. And Yom HaKippurim, as we saw, can do that. Even by Nasham Vadai and Achatat Vadait, by both of those, Yom Kippur can provide protection until you bring the Korban, but you still have to bring the Korban. The Hasham Taloi, where the whole purpose of the Korban is the protection, then Yom HaKippurim can replace the Korban completely and provide you that protection until you find out that you need to bring whatever it is, the Korban that you need to bring. Mishabai Yedo, Safek Aveira B'Yom HaKippurim. Again, we saw this quoted earlier in the Gemara. Someone who runs into a Safek Aveira on Yom HaKippurim, even with nightfall, meaning at the tail end of Yom HaKippurim, patur. You don't have to bring an Hasham Taloi. Shkol Hayom Mechaper. Because the entire day provides that kapara. And therefore, if the safek arises in the tail end of Yom HaKippurim, Yom HaKippurim still provides that protection. And therefore, you won't have to bring an Hasham Taloi until you figure out what it is you need to bring. And then you'll have to bring the korban vadait that you have to bring. Aisha, she'esh aleha chatata of safek, a woman who had, for instance, a case where she has a miscarriage, but it's unclear whether the miscarriage is the type that is chayav, or considered or classified as a leida, and therefore she has to bring a korbanot, whether it's not. And so there she has a safek now, and she brings a chatata of mi safek, she brings an olah, and then makes a t'nai whether she needs to bring it or not, and then the chatata of is ba'al safek. Ve'avar aleha yom HaKippurim, and she goes through Yom Kippur after having this issue with a chatat of misafek, chayevet lavi achar Yom HaKippurim. Once again, Yom Kippur doesn't solve your problem over here, b'nei shehi machsheret lechol bezvachim. Because the purpose of the chatat of in the situation that we're dealing with is a mechuseret kippurim, someone who needs to bring the korbanot in order to facilitate their ability to eat kodoshim and enter into the mikdash, and therefore it's a korban machshir. Yom HaKippurim is not a machshir. Yom HaKippurim is a mechaper, and it's also a megin. It can provide both of those issues. What it can't do is discharge obligations, and what it also can't do is be machshir. And since the chatat, even though it's ba'al safek, yes, with regards to quote-unquote an aveira, the Yom HaKippurim can deal with sfeikot, but it can't deal with the safek where you need to be machshir, because Yom HaKippurim doesn't provide that hakshara. And therefore, since it's mechsheret le'chol bezvachim, Yom Kippur is not going to provide or replace that. If after you bring the chatata of, you find out what you should have been doing in this case, the mission is not clear as to whether she found out that she didn't need to bring the korban or she did need to bring the korban. Nevertheless, it is tikaver. It is buried because it's considered to be what otherwise would be known as chulin ba'azara, and therefore it's put bikvura because there's an Isra Anah associated with it, but it's not psulo b'kodesh where you would have sreifa. It only has kvura. So again, the Gemara will deal with this and explain it more. This is in contrast to the mission that we saw earlier, whereby if the woman finds out before the malika is done that she needs to bring it for certain, then she changes it from a chatat b'safek into a chatat vada'it, and she brings it as a chatat of to discharge her obligation. But that's all pre-Malika. Post-Malika, then once you get the information, the Korban can no longer then be changed into something that is Vada'it. It was brought out as a fake to start with. And therefore, Tikaver, and we'll see the details of that in the Gemara. Where it says, my time under Rabbi Eliezer. What is the source for Rabbi Eliezer's opinion here that Hasham Taloi can be brought in the Dava? where it says, Isak adatcha kovahi, this is what Rabbi Eliezer will say. If you think that an Hashem Toloi is an obligatory korban, when he finds out the information that he really did sin, then why does he have to bring a korban chatat at that point? That shows you that this Hashem is not providing kapara. Because if it was providing kapara, then you wouldn't need a second korban when you find out the information for certain. If you bring a chatat on a chait, you don't need to bring another chatat afterwards. The chatat provides kapara. So if the Hashem Toloi was providing kapara over here, then you wouldn't need to bring a chatat afterwards. That shows you, or that demonstrates to you, that the Hashem Toloi is not a mechaper. Now, that still doesn't mean that it's not an obligatory korban. It could be an obligatory korban that doesn't provide kapara. So that's where Rabbi Eliezer comes in and says, listen, if you believe that the Hashem Toloi is a nidava, then it makes sense that you can bring it in order to provide that protection for you in the interim, because then when you find out the information, you'll bring it as a vadai korban, and retroactively we'll just assume the Hashem Toloi was a nidava. But if you tell me that the korban is only an obligatory korban, then first of all, it should provide the full kapara that you need. And number two is, even if you think it's an obligatory korban that's not providing kapara, then how do you explain this scenario when you find out for certain that you have to bring another korban? What do you do with, or what do you say about this korban that you already brought because it's no longer necessary? So now it becomes retroactively chulin bazara. For that reason, Rabbi Eliezer believes that a Hashem Toloi comes or manifests itself both as a chova and as a nidava. Elishma mina nidavahi. So therefore you can conclude that it's a voluntary offering. He does agree when it's a case, if you had violated savira, intentionally it would have been karet, unintentionally it would have been a chatat. He agrees there's an obligation to bring the Hashem Toloi. But packaged in that is the ability for the Hashem Toloi to function as an nidava when you find out other information that you need to bring a chatat now. In that case, the Hashem Toloi retroactively becomes a nidava. Rabbanan, the Rabbanan disagree. Ola ushlamim hud atu b'neder u'nidava. There are only two korbanot that come as a neder u'nidava. That is an ola and a shlamim. Of a chatat v'asham. It comes to a chatat and asham, chuvaninu. They're obligatory korbanot. And that means not only a chatat and an asham vadai, but even a asham taloi is in that category of obligatory korbanot. V'asham taloi, hainu taima, the mighty. So then, why do you bring the asham taloi before you find out the information that for certain you need to bring such a korban? Or in essence, the question the Rabbanan are trying to answer is what Rabbi Eliezer said. If when you find out for certain you did the chait, you have to bring a korban chatat, then what did the Hashem Taloi do, or how could it be an obligatory korban? The answer is, because the hagain alav, the purpose of the Hashem Taloi is not to provide kapara, rather to provide protection in the interim. The Torah chasal gufan shel Yisrael. The Torah had mercy, or was considerate of the protection of Bnei Yisrael, and therefore provided a mechanism for providing that protection so that the person, before they find out that they've actually sinned, has something that provides the protection until the kapara comes, and the kapara then is the atonement, or the item, the meaning of the word kapara is to wipe away. The one that wipes away or eliminates the chait, or the punishment, really, that's associated with the chait. And therefore, you wait for the kapara, but in the interim, you need protection, and that's what the Hashem Toloi is doing. The truth is that there is a Mishnah in Chulin, speaking about Shkutei Chutz, which deals with different categorization of korbanot. And over there, it says that an Ola and a Shlamim and an Hashem Toloi are considered to be korbanot nidava, and only an Hashem Vadai and a Chatat Vadait are classified as Kova. And so, over there, the Gemara says that the author of that Mishnah is Rabbi Eliezer. Because Rabbi Eliezer is the one of the belief that you can bring a Hashem Toloi b'nidava. And so we do find this idea that Rabbi Eliezer believes that it is a nidava and has implications of halacha based on his position. So we have Mishnayot, not just here, but in other places that indicate that people view this Hashem Toloi as a nidava. Samalei Rav Acha b'rei de Rav Ravashi, Dilma Hashem Toloi ke'ola vishlamim. Maybe the Hashem Toloi is like an Ola Shlamim. Ma Ola Shlamim da'atu b'chova va'atu b'nedava. They come both as obligatory offerings and voluntary offerings. Hashem Toloi nami da'ati b'chova ati nami b'nedava. Maybe the Hashem Toloi has both manifestations. Just because the Chachamim believe that there's an obligatory side to it doesn't automatically mean that there's no voluntary side to it. Just like by Olot Shlamim, we have both manifestations. You have obligatory Olot and Shlamim, and you have voluntary. So why can't you say the same thing by Nasham Taloi? Amalei Olot Shlamim Ikar Binedava. Primary purpose and the primary parshiot of Olot and Shlamim are actually Korbanot and Nedava. The way the Torah phrases them in the beginning of Vayikra is the Korban Olah is an Olat Nedava, and the Korban Shlamim that's brought there are Shlamei Nedava. And so you see their primary aspect is Nedava. They happen to be that in certain instances they're obligatory Olot and Shlamim, but that's not their primary designation. On the other hand, Hashem Toloi, Ikar Bechovakti, the Hashem Taloi, both in where it is written in the Torah, it's written and surrounded by the Korbanot, Olev Yored, and the Hashem Ilot, and the Hashem Gezelot, it's in a category or a context in which we're speaking about Kapara. And therefore, Hashem Taloi's primary purpose is a Chova. And so therefore, the designation of Olot and Shlamim are Korbanot Nidava, even though they're not always brought as Korbanot Nidava. So too, by Hashem Taloi, the designation is a Korban Chova, even though maybe you would have suggested it could be brought as a nedava, still its primary purpose or its primary designation is that of a chova, and that means it's going to be known as a chova. And if that's the case, you can't just bring it on a voluntary basis. There will be the ability to bring it as a chova where you don't know the information. So there are some dispensations with regards to it, but that's about all. That's it. It's just that dispensation. Otherwise, it remains an obligatory korban for circumstances that precipitate the necessity to bring it. Tani, it can't be Rabbi Chiya over here based on the fact that it's Kamei the Rava. It's in front of Rava. Rabbi Chiya is a Talmud peer of Rabbi's. He's Rav's uncle and Rebbe. And so obviously Rava, who is a fourth generation Amora, is certainly not speaking to Rabbi Chiya. So it has to be here. As you can see, the Shita Mekubeset changes it to Tani Rabbi Chanina, that Rabbi Chanina was saying a Breita in front of Rava. Hashem Taloi ba al ha nevela. You can bring an Hashem Taloi for a Isser involving a nevela. Rashi, which is the way we're going to read the Gemara, and then we'll come back and discuss the alternate view here. Rashi says, Klomar al safek Isser lav. So it's still coming because of a safek, but over here it allows you to bring it when you safek violated and lav of nevela. Amar lei, vahanantnan. Rabbi Chanina says to Rava, don't we have our Mishnah, which says, Chachamim omrim, inu mevi Hashem Taloi, ala davar shez dono karet, v'shigigato chatat. And Hashem Taloi is only precipitated by a safek violation of something where if it's done intentionally, it would be a chiyuv karet, unintentionally a chiyuv chatat. And therefore, they certainly are not the authors of this braita. The Rabbi Eliezer, and if you want to say to me, oh, the author of this braita is Rabbi Eliezer, b'nedava namiati. He thinks you can bring it on a voluntary basis. So why do you need to tell me that it's Bala Nevela? Forget about Nevela. You can bring it even without the Nevela. You can bring it anytime you want. So then it can't be Rabbi Eliezer, and it can't be the Chachamim. So who is the author of this position in this Braita? Amar Lei, Rava responds to him, My time alo matnit. Why didn't you learn? Now, there are two ways Rashi expresses this. Why didn't you learn your Mishnayot and Braita well? Because if you learned your Mishnayot and Braita well, you would have known the answer to this question. Or, My time of Lomatni means, why didn't you come and learn in front of Rabbo, my Rebbe, or one of my Rebbeim? Then you would have known this information just like I know it. Zimnin, Sagin, Tinita, Kamei, Mar. Many times I said over in front of Mar, for Rabbo, when he says Mar, it's a reference to Rabbo. Rav Yosef, Rabbi says similar things both about Rabbo and Rav Yosef. But when I used to do this before Mar, before my master, meaning his, one of his Rebbeim, Rabbo, Umanu, and that's what the Gemara explains now, that it was Rabbo. Va'amar li ha'mani, and he would say to me, you know who that is? Rabbi Eliezer he, da Amrulo. It is Rabbi Eliezer of the Amrulo. And that's what I noted already in the Mishnah. There is a third opinion there, and those are the people that were responding to Bava ben Buta and saying to him, you can't bring it on Motzei Yom HaKippurim because you need a Beit Safek. You need something to trigger the necessity to bring it. And so he's saying it's the Amrulo of Rabbi Eliezer, that's not. Ella Omrim Li is the Gersa in our Mishnah. It is Ella Omrim Li Hamtein Achi Kanes the Beit HaSafek. You, Bava ben Buta, need to wait until you reach a point where there is a Safek. And so, now you have a Tana who has the position that you need some sort of a Vera, you need some sort of issue in order to facilitate or precipitate the necessity for a Korban Hashem Taloi, even though their definition obviously is broader than that of the Chachamim with regards to the things that are Chayav Karet B'Mezid and Chataot B'Shogeg. Now we have to understand what is the reasoning behind the position of the Amrulo, and that's what we say here. Amar Rava, although the Shita Mekubetzet brings the Gish as being Amar Rava. So it's not clear whether Rava is saying over what he heard from Rava now, or it's Rava himself speaking and explaining what it is. My time with Amrulo. What's the reasoning behind those that say Amrulo, that middle position between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim? What is their reasoning? Amar Kra, the Pasuk says. Now, the Pasuk that's quoted over here is actually a Pasuk that's found in Perek Dalet in Vayikra, and that's what the Torah Or over here says. It's in Vayikra Dalet, found by the Kurban Chatat HaYachid. In Pasuk Chavzayin, Im Nefesh Achat Techata Bishkaga Me'am Haaretz Vasotah Achat Mimitzvot Hashem Asher Lo Tasena Ve'ashem. That would be the quote. Although both Rashi and the Shittu Mekubetzet and the Rabbeinu Gershom say that it's speaking about an Hashem Talui. If that's the case, then it's not found in Perek Dalet, but rather in Perek Hei in Vayikra Pasuk Yud Zayin. Over there, it has something similar, which is Im Nefesh Ki Techata Vasta Achat Mikol Mitzvot Hashem Asher Lo Tasena V'lo Yada V'Hashem V'Nasa Avono. So over here, there's V'lo Yada in between the Hashem. So it likely is quoting from the Hashem Talui, because that's what we're speaking about here. Although you could read it into the Chatat HaYachid and still have it make sense, and that's because of what they're saying over here, which is the reasoning that you need something to trigger your necessity being Hashem Talui, because it says, Asher Lo Te'asena. As Rashi describes over here, Afilu Leka Shkaga, even if there's no unintentional violation, Elva Mide Delav, Dehainu Shel Lo Te'asena Chayav. Something you shouldn't have done, that's enough to trigger your obligation to bring such a korban. So even though it was only lo tasena, it was only you shouldn't do it, despite that fact, that's already enough of a reason to bring this korban. That's the way that Rashi and the Rabbeinu Gershom, all those that say it's referring to the Hashem Talui, are explaining it. Now you could say that that's what it's saying about the chatat as well. Asher lo tasena brings you into the world of chatat. Not fully, but at least partially into that world. Now Tosafot deals with, does not totally agree with Rashi, and therefore he runs himself into somewhat of a problem here, which is, he brings Rashi's explanation, he says, it sounds like from here that it doesn't sound like it's an obligation to bring it. The way Rashi is terming it is that this is an expansion of the items that you bring an Hashem Talui for. Now an Hashem Talui is an obligatory korban for someone who has a safek. With regards to a zdono karet and shigvato chatat, it is an obligation for him to bring it. What Tosafot says over here is that it doesn't sound like it is an obligation to bring it. Meaning that the amrulo don't sound any different than Rabbi Eliezer. They're just a modified form of Rabbi Eliezer, which means that it should be a nedava, a voluntary offering. And therefore, Tosafot wants to suggest that you can bring it anytime you want, as long as there's some avira that is not it doesn't have a korban that provides kapara, you can bring it. That means both if you had a safek violation of a lav, or you vadai violated a lav. Even if you absolutely violated a lav, you can bring this korban because it's a voluntary offering that just needs to be associated with some violation or some safek violation. So it's not a prerequisite to make it an obligatory offering that you need to have a safek lav. You can even have a vadai lav because lav doesn't provide kapara through a korban. And the Hashem Talui can be a proxy to provide that kapara, even when it's a vadai. Now, it won't absolve you of your need to get malkot, but it can still provide protection and kapara in the interim. And therefore, Tosfot says, then, v'nira, t'lo yodolei dekra, l'inyan chuva, ulien davar shimi vadalo, yevial shigato chatat, v'ileg zer shava, de mitzvot mitzvot. Tosfot starts to run into a problem now, which is that the Pasuk says over here, the Pasuk says, v'lo yada. That's obviously what pushes Rashi to say that it's a safek lav over here. So once you do that, Rashi then starts to make it sound like safek lav is no different than a safek dono karet and shugato chata. That means it's an obligatory offering. Tosafot says, no. It's not an obligatory offering. It's a voluntary offering. You can even bring it on a vadai violation of a lav. But then what do you do with v'lo yada in the Pasuk? The Pasuk says you only bring it when you don't know. You don't bring it when you know. And if you know that you did a lav, that sounds like you can't bring it. Tosafot says v'lo yada is only in regards to the chova, to the obligatory offering. Or in essence, what he's doing is bifurcating the cases here and saying that there are two forms of Hashem Talui. There's an Hashem Talui that comes as an obligatory offering. And there's an Hashem Tola that comes as a voluntary offering. The voluntary offering is Asher Lo Tasena. For any violation, it allows you, precipitates the ability to bring a Korban Hashem Toloi, but it's all voluntary. You don't have to bring it, but you have the option now to bring it. On the other hand, Velo Yada is part of the obligatory thing. When you have to bring a Korban Hashem Toloi Bechova, which is when you have the Gzer Shava of Mitzvot, you have Mitzvot here, and Mitzvot by the Chatat HaYachid, which tells you that it's only associated with a Shugato Chatat and Zdono Karet. That's what Velo Yada modifies. Only when you don't know, is there an obligatory offering to bring it for such a violation. So Tosafot says that there's two types of Hashem Taloi according to these Amrulo. According to those that disagreed with Bava Mebuta and Rabbi Eliezer, there's an obligatory offering, and that's subject to all the regular rules of an Hashem Taloi. There is a voluntary offering, which is just covered by Asher Lo Tasena. As long as you did something wrong, that's enough of a reason to bring it. And so there, it's not obligatory, but you could bring it, but that means you could also bring it even if it's yada. Even if you know that you did a violation, you don't have to have all the trappings of a regular Hashem Taloi. So that's the way that Tosafot explains it. So that's now, Amar Rava, my time with the Rabbonan. What's the reasoning behind the Rabbonan's position? Once again here, the Shittim Gubesa changes it to Amar Rava instead of Amar Rava. This is the Gzer Shava that we saw before, which is we learn out the Gzer Shava of Mitzvot from Chatat Chelev. Malahalan, just like by Chatat Chelev, which means your standard Chatat, Shizdono Karet, Mishigato Chatat. Over there, the only time you bring a Chatat, when it's unintentional, is when it's intentional, it's a Chiyuv Karet. Afkan, Davar Shizdono Karet, Mishigato Chatat. So to hear by the Hashem Taloi, the only time that it's an obligatory offering is when it is intentionally done, you would have been violation of a Karet, unintentionally done, it would have been a Chatat. And here you don't know, so it becomes an Hashem Taloi. So they learn the Gzer Shava in its entirety to say it modifies everything in the Pasuk. No matter what it is in the Pasuk, it's all governed by this Gzer Shava. And therefore, there's no Korban Hashem Taloi besides that which comes through the Gzer Shava. Right now we have Braita. Tarabanan, Chamisha Shamot Mechaprim. Five Hashem provide Kapara. Hashem Taloi, Enu Mechaper. On the other hand, a Hashem Taloi does not provide Kapara. Mike Amar, what are you saying over here? So Amar Rav Yosef, Hachik Amar. Chamisha Shamot Mechaprim Kapara Gmura. There are five Hashemot that provide full-fledged atonement. Hashem Taloi Enu Mechaper Kapara Gmura. On the other hand, Hashem Taloi does not provide full-fledged atonement. Or in essence, what he is saying is that while the other Hashemot, once bring them when you have information that you're definitively Chayav. And therefore, once you've brought them, there is no bringing another Korban. You're done with your obligation, and you've attained the Kapara or the atonement that you need. That's why there's no new Korban. Hashem Taloi is not that way. You bring the Hashem Taloi, but when you find out you really did the violation, you're going to have to bring a Chatat. So that shows you that the Hashem Taloi is not providing Kapara Gmura, or in essence what we said before is it's not really providing Kapara at all. It's just providing Haganah. It's providing protection in the interim, but not Kapara. And therefore, it is Enu Mechaper Kapara Gmura, because you have to bring a Korban Chatat when you find out that you did the violation fully. Now, the statement has to be taken loosely because the five Hashemot that we're speaking about are not all up for Rabbanot. You have an Hashem Shiva Harufa, Hashem Mi'ivot, and Hashem Gzelot, all three of which come to be Mechaper because there was a sin that was done there. On the other hand, the other two Hashemot, which is the Hashem Nazir and the Hashem Mitzora, are not necessarily brought Alachet. They are Machshirim, they are facilitators, they are not Mechaprim. Now, there are views in Chazal that there are Avonot associated with Mitzora and Nazir, and therefore that's why you're bringing Chataot and Hashemot. But the primary purpose of the Hashemot there is to provide Hakshara. And so therefore you have to read the word Kapara here loosely to mean Hakshara or Kapara. They provide a full Hakshara or a full Kapara, which the Hashem Taloi does neither of. Doesn't bring a full Hakshara, doesn't provide a full Kapara, because if you find out the information, you're going to have to bring a Korban to deal with whatever it is that you needed to do. Udolo ki Rabbi Eliezer. And this statement of the Braita would be to be in contrast to the view of Rabbi Eliezer, the Mar Hashem Taloi Baal Nevela, which is what we saw above. It's not really Rabbi Eliezer. It is the Amrulo who are based on Rabbi Eliezer. They're a takeoff on Rabbi Eliezer. And therefore, it's assigned to him because he's the main protagonist in this opinion. And they are just a takeoff or a variation of his opinion. So it's not Rabbi Eliezer himself, but it's the Amrulo in the case of Bava Mebuta. That saying that Hashem Taloi can come even on a Nevela, even according to Rashi, on a Safek violation of Nevela, according to Tosafot, even on a Vaday violation of Nevela, And that would be not like what this braita is saying, which is that the Hashem Teloi does not provide a kapara gmura. The way that Rashi phrases it is that if you did find out afterwards that you did violate Isur Nevela Vadai, you're not going to bring another korban. Because the Hashem Teloi is the only korban you're going to bring. You're not going to bring a korban chatat, because there is no chatat associated with the eating of a Nevela. Right now, Ravina Amar, he makes a different suggestion, as I explained this braita, hachiktani. Chamisha Hashemot, ein acher mechaper kabaratan. By the five Hashemot, there's no other mechanism for attaining that kapara. As soon as you know that you for sure need to bring them, you will have to bring that korban. Hashem Teloi, acher mechaper kaparato. On the other hand, Hashem Teloi, even if you were supposed to bring an Hashem Teloi, there is another vehicle for attaining that kapara. Because when you find out about it for certain, you're not necessarily going to bring the korban Hashem Teloi. So therefore, there is something else that provides that kapara, yet it's not. Chayvei chataot v'ashamot v'adayin, shabah lehem yom ha-kippurim, chayvin lachivi achar yom ha-kippurim. By ashamot and chataot v'adayin, even if you cross through Yom Kippur, you still have the obligation to bring them afterwards. Chayvei ashamot tluyin p'turim. On the other hand, if you're chayav in Hashem Teloi, if you cross through Yom Kippur, you are patur. So there you see that the Hashem Teloi, something else provides that same kapara when you find out about it, or you find out about the necessity. Yom Kippur already has provided you the kapara that you needed. So this seems from here that if you knew you had to bring an Hashem Teloi before Yom HaKippurim, then you would still have to bring it after Yom HaKippurim. Because here it says, the chiyadale, when you find out about it, lo maiti, you don't have to bring it. So that sounds like only if you found out about it after Yom Kippur, you wouldn't have to bring it because Yom Kippur already took care of whatever it was you needed. But if you knew about it before Yom Kippur and you're already obligated in an Hashem Teloi, Yom HaKippurim, as we say, can't take care of obligation. So only if it is unknown to you before Yom Kippur, does Yom Kippur then obviate the need to bring a Korban Hashem Teloi after Yom HaKippurim. But if you knew about it beforehand, Yom Kippur can't discharge obligations, and therefore you still have to bring it after Yom HaKippurim. That's what it sounds like from the way that this is phrased. You could have believed, and you could have said, that Yom Kippur provides the same Haganah that the Hashem Teloi does, and even if you knew you had to bring an Hashem Teloi beforehand, Yom Kippur can provide that exact kapara or that exact haganah that the Hashem Teloi was going to provide, and therefore you don't have to bring it if you knew it beforehand. But that's not the way it's phrased here, because here it says, because once he finds out, he won't have to bring it, which means he didn't know it at the time that Yom Kippur came. So even though that is the diuk that you would make out of this over here, nevertheless, the Gemara and the Mishnah really sounds like it doesn't matter, and even if you knew ahead before Yom HaKippurim that you had to bring an Hashem Teloi, Yom Kippur will be successful at providing that same kapara. Chayvei chataot v'ashamot v'adayin. So now it says, Ketani, chayvei chataot v'ashamot v'adayin shvar lehem yom ha-kippurim, chayvim la'vi lachar yom ha-kippurim, chayvei ashamot tluin p'turim. Minahani milei. How do we know that that's the case? Yom Kippur obviates the need for Hashem Teloi. Ki'ata Rav Dimi, Amar Rabbi Ami, Amar Rabbi Chanina, Amar Kro. So Rav Dimi is coming from Eretz Yisrael and bringing us information. He does this throughout Shas. He's bringing us memorot from the Amoraim in Eretz Yisrael, especially from Rabbi Yochanan. Over here, it's from Rabbi Chanina, again, from the first, second generation Amoraim in Eretz Yisrael. Pasuk says, with regards to the kapara that is provided by the Seir Hanaseh Bifnim on Yom HaKippurim, in Vayikra Tetzayin, Pasuk Tetzayin, V'chiper LaKodesh, Mitumot b'nei Yisrael, umi pishehem l'chol chatotam, the sprinkling of the dam of the par naseh bifnim, and the par naseh bifnim, it'll provide, v'chiber l'kodesh, mitumot b'nei Yisrael, umi pishehem l'chol chatotam, v'chen yaseh lo moed, v'shochen itam b'toch tumatan. And now they are midayek out of the posuk, that there is a parallel that is drawn between the chataim and the pishaim, chataim dumya de pishaim. The chait is something that has to be similar to a pesha. Ma pishaim dela b'nei v'korban, pishaim, which are mezid, which are violations intentionally, there's no korban brought, af chataim dela b'nei korban, mechaper. So too, only chataim, which are unintentional violations, there too, only the things that are not chayav korban, will Yom HaKippurim take care of them. Aval, but if they are chataim that are b'nei korban, they're chataim that do require a korban, lo mechaper, they will not provide the kapara. And so, therefore, the only things that it provides kapara for are kagon. Rashi says, nevela, mechaper alayu Yom HaKippurim. Yom HaKippur will take care of nevela because it's not something that you would bring a korban for. But things that are requiring a korban, like chatot and hashamot vadayin, it will not provide kapara. It still doesn't explain why it, by an Hashem Taloi it'll work, because that's also an obligatory korban, and therefore it should also have to be brought after Yom HaKippurim. But at least for now, it delineates why you would have to bring a chatat and Hashem even after Yom Kippur, is because it only provides kapara for chatot that are similar to a pesha. And just like a pesha is not a b'nei korban, so too it has to be only a chatat or a shogeg, a violation that is not associated with a korban. Amalei Abaye, so Abaye says to Rav Dimi, v'ha ki kidei hadein kra, that pasuk is written, b'seir anaseh bifneim ho, dichtiv. It's written about the korbanot that are done in the Kodesh and Kodesh HaKodeshim on Yom HaKippurim. Lo mechaper ala veirot de mitzvah yidua. They don't provide kapara for something that is known, for maybe their kapara is not strong enough to provide kapara for something that is requiring a korban. And that is based on the Gemara in Shavuot, which goes through all the different korbanot, chateot, that are brought by the tzibur, and discusses what is the kapara provided with them. Musufim of the Chagim, and Rosh Hashanah, Musafim of Yom HaKippurim, the Seir and Aseh Bifnim on Yom HaKippurim. What of those all provide kapara? And then Gemara in Shavuot says they're all kapara for Tumat Mikdash v'Kodoshav. It all has to do with Tumat, eating Kodesh, or going into the Mikdash. And it provides kapara for different scenarios or permutations of that. Sometimes where you know the information before, you don't know it afterwards. Sometimes where you only know afterwards, but you didn't know before. So those are the different manifestations. And what Abaye is pointing out is that the Korban of Yom HaKippurim, if he finds out that he actually sinned, went into the Mikdash B'tumah, it doesn't provide kapara, because there you need a Korban Oleh B'Yorei to take care of you. And the Seir Neseh B'Fnim only provides kapara where you had a Yediyah B'Tchilah, you knew about it beforehand, then you forgot about it, and you did this Avera of Tumat Mikdash B'Kodoshav, and then you never find out about the information afterwards. That case, the Seir Neseh B'Fnim takes care of you, provides that kapara. But that means that it is a weakened form of kapara, because if you knew that you actually had gone in and violated it, it would not provide you that kapara. So that indicates to you that the chataot are like pshaim, and that only things that are not subject to korban are chayav, because it doesn't have a strong enough kapara associated with it. Abaye offers the alternative, which is the seir mishtaleach on Yom HaKippurim, which deals with all averot over there, where even if you knew about the avera before Yom HaKippurim, it still provides kapara for it. So maybe there, that's strong enough to then deal with something that is even a korban. And that's what Abaye suggests. Here, Abaye v'aktiv, hadein krab, seir naseh bifnim hudiktiv, delo mechaper averot, the mitzvah yedua. They don't take care of kapara for averot that are known averot. Aval seir mishtaleach, the mechaper averot, the mitzvah yedua, by a seir mishtaleach, which provides kapara for all mitzvot, not just tumat mikdash v'kodashav. And even for something where you know you violated it, for instance, if you knew for sure you ate nevela, it would still provide kapara. Eima lecha afilo chataim v'nei korban ninu mechaper. Maybe over there it could even take care of chataim that are subject to a korban. El amar abayim eocha. You have to learn it from here, which is you have to take a posuk by the seir mishtaleach that does the exact same thing, which is there in Achreimot, in Perek Tzayin, posuk chaf aleph. With regards to the kapara that's provided by the Seir Mishtaleach, it says, "V'samach Aron shtei yadav al rosh ha-seir achai, v'hit vadalav et kol abanot b'nei Yisrael, v'et kol pishayhem l'chol chatotam." So again, you have "et kol pishayhem l'chol chatotam," that parallel between chataim and pishayim. Natanotam al rosh ha-seir, mishalach v'yad ishiti ha-midbara. So again, Abaye is going to darshan the same thing as Rav Dimi, but now he's going to darshan by a pasuk by Seir Mishtaleach, that then doesn't afford you the opportunity to wiggle out of it. Chataim dumya de pshaim, ma pshaim tala b'nei korban, just like intentional violations are not subject to a korban. So too, af chataim tala b'nei korban. So too, the chataim that you get kapara for through the seir mishtaleach would be things that don't have a korban associated with them. Av chataim de b'nei korban enu lo mechaper, any chait that involves a korban, it will not provide kapara for. Umiatei korab seir mishtaleach. And the reason the Torah brought it in the context of Seir Mishtaleach is lememra, dal chataim debnei korban ninu lo mechaper. That is to teach you that on chataim that are bnei korban, it doesn't provide kapara. So over here, you can't use the out that Abaye said in the previous case. In the case of the Tumat Mikdash v'Kodoshav, the Seir Naseh Bifnim only provides limited kapara. Only provides kapara if you don't know about the avera. If you know about the avera, it doesn't provide kapara. So maybe that's why it doesn't work to take care of averot that have a korban associated with them. But over here, in the Seir Mishtaleach, where it provides kapara, whether you knew you did a violation, whether you don't know you did a violation, it provides kapara, so then it would also be powerful enough to eliminate a avera that has a korban. In that context, it says chateim dumya de pishayim, that chateim are similar to pishayim, and that means that only things that are not b'nei korban get kapara through the seir mishtaleach. Anything that's a b'nei korban doesn't get it. Amar le Rav Bimi, mimai dani pishayim tala b'nei korban inu. Now Rav Bimi, after Abaye undermined his position and brings a different view as to what might make sense over here, Rav Bimi questions that and says, how do you know that these pshayim are pshayim that are not korbanot? Dilmahani d'bnei korban inu. We have certain violations b'meizid that still end up with a korban. It's not, as we saw earlier in the Masechta, arba'a mevin al-zadon kishtaga. There are four individuals who bring a korban even when it's a violation b'meizid. The Shifrach Harufa, a Nazir that became Tamei, Shvuat Eidot, and Shvuat HaPikadon. So then, how do you have a parallel that says here, Pishayim means no Korban, and therefore Chataim must be no Korban? It's not true. Pishayim can even have a Korban associated with it. If that's the case, then maybe Chataim are also associated with the Korban. Itmar Nami. We have a similar Mesorah that was brought, Ke'ata Rabin. So now, Rabin and Rabdimi were both coming from Eretz Yisrael, bringing Memorot from Eretz Yisrael. So we had the first Memorot that was brought by Rabdimi. And now they were saying that Rabin brought a similar Mesorah. Amar Rabbi Yossi, Amar Reish Lakish, Vidvalav et kol avanot b'nei Yisrael, et kol pishayim l'chol chatotam, chateim dumya de pishayim, ma pishayim de la b'nei korban mechaper, av chateim de la b'nei korban mechaper, av chateim de b'nei korban lo mechaper. It's exactly the limud that Abaye gave over here, uses the same pasuk as Abaye. So even though, again, Rav Dimi brought it and he had the right limud, he had it off the wrong pasuk, and Abaye corrects him and says it's got to be off the pasuk of Aser Mishtalech, not Aser Naseh Bifnim. To which Rav Dimi then says, why does the limud make sense at all? Because you can have cases of mezid that are b'nei korban, and that means that you could also have chataim that are also b'nei korban. So then the Gemara interrupts and says, well, when Rabin came, he brought the same mesorah as Abaye's suggestion as what the limud is over here. So Amar Abaye. So Abaye says to Rabin, Ana nami mehaden kra amre. I said the exact same thing that you just brought from Eretz Yisrael, but actually Rav Dimi. And then Rav Dimi challenged my explanation, Mimai dahani pshayim tala b'nei korban ninu. How do you know that these violations b'meizid are things that are not subject to a korban? Damach b'nei korban ninu. Maybe these are items where they are subject to a korban k'dedan. Like we saw in the Mishnah earlier, Abba mevim al zadon kishkaga. So I'm like, Rabin answers and says, Rav pshayim tala b'nei korban. The majority of Pishayim, majority of violations of Mezid have no Korban associated with them. And therefore, when it says Pishayim, you can assume it's speaking about violations that don't involve a Korban. Amalei, Midei Rov, Ktiv. If I says back to him, it doesn't say Rov. It says all Pishayim. So how can that be the case? El Amar Abaye, Mereshit Dekra. The reason that this limud works over here is because the beginning of the Pasuk, which begins, V'samach Aron, Shteyadav, Rosh Seir, Achai, V'hit Vadalav, Et Kol Avonot, B'nei Yisrael. Avonot are similar to Pishayim in that they are violations of Mezid, Tanya, and we know that that's the case. Avonot, Eluz Donot, that Avonot are intentional violations, V'cheinu Omer. They quote the pasuk from the end of Parshat Shlach, where it speaks about the individual who violates Avodah Zarah B'Shogeg, and then afterwards speaks about the Megadeif, and it says there, Ki Tivar Hashem Baza, Ben Mitzvoto Heifar, Hikaret, Tikaret, and Nefeshayi, Avona Va. Clearly, we're speaking about somebody who's doing something intentionally, and it calls it avonah va. So avonah va, then avonot means a mezid. Now, going back to our pasuk in Achrei Mot, the pasuk begins that vidvada, it's called avonot. First, there's a vidoy for all avonot. All avonot means intentional violation. So then, what do you need? That's called pishayim, the chokhatotam, lamali. The remainder of the pasuk, why do you know to know about pishayim, which are also intentional violations, and chatotam? If you tell me it's there to tell you that even on the chatot, it provides kapara, then why write pishayim? You could have just written avonot and chatotam. But why do you have to write pishayim? The extraneous pishayim comes like shuya the pishayim. The connected pishayim, ma pishayim de la b'nei korban, just like pishayim are not b'nei korban, av chatayim de la b'nei korban, aval chatayim de b'nei korban yinu lo mechaper. So there, just like pishayim are things that don't get a korban for their kapara, the chatayim, unintentional violations, chatayim will only have kapara for things that are not b'nei korban. So he learns it from the extraneous lashon of mipishayim. Pishayim must be something distinct from avonot. So if avonot takes care of all the things that are mezid, pishayim must be teaching you something new or some new piece of information, and that is, it must be speaking about things that are not subject to korban by mezid, and through that, you can teach you something about the chatot that Yom Kippur only provides kapara for things that are not subject to a korban. So that eliminates Rav Dimi's question now, because it's coming from the extraneous language here, and had it wanted to say what Rav Dimi was saying, it just could have said at Kol Avonot, B'nei Yisrael, v'chol chatotam. Where traditionally the word chatat is used to mean something that's an avera that's associated with a korban, and if you did that, then you'd get exactly what Rav Dimi is trying to suggest, that is that the kapara is provided not only for averot without a korban, even for averot with a korban, by the fact that it didn't use that simpler language and said l'chol pishehem, l'chol chatotam, added in pshaim as well, must be going to teach you that the pshaim that we're speaking about here are differentiated from the avonot, that the pshaim are coming to teach you that this is rov pshaim, and not the pshaim that are associated with korbanot, because that you could have taken care of without ever adding the word pshaim in there. Et kol pshaim must be coming to add something. That is the lima that we are garnering from this, that things that have a chiyuv korban, Yom Kippurim doesn't take care of them. Chayavei Hashemot Tluyin, so still have to understand why, if that's the case, why doesn't Hashem Tlui get covered by Yom Kippur? It's also an obligatory korban, and therefore Yom Kippur should not discharge the obligation. It says with regards to Yom Kippurim, Pasuk, Lamet in Achrimot, takes care of all those chataim that are lifnei Hashem. Something where there's a sin that only God knows about, when you don't know the chait, and you're not certain about the chait, then Yom HaKippurim provides kapara. Shem Tolui is brought exactly on that scenario where it's something that only Hashem knows. And what it says here in the pasuk is things that where only Hashem knows the truth, that Yom HaKippurim is mechaper for, and therefore it covers the Hashem Tolui. The truth is that this could also be the source for the fact that Hashemot, Vadayin, and Chataot Vadayot, they would also have to be brought after Yom Kippur, because they're not something that's only known lifnei Hashem. Those are things that even the party that did the violation knows about. And therefore, Yom Kippur can't provide kapara, and that's what we're going to see right now. Amar Rav Tachlifa Abua de Rav Huna. Rav Tachlifa, the father of Rav Huna, said, Mishmei de Rava, he said, in the name of Rava, Kadmaita lami lo teite be mifshite lomi de Rav Dimi velomi de Abaye. The earlier limudim that we have, meaning that necessity that chayavei chataot and hashlamot badein, Yom Kippur doesn't take care of them, we can't learn it out of Rav Dimi, and we can't learn it out of Abaye. Can't learn it out of Rav Dimi because of Abaye's question, and we can't learn from Abaye because of Rav Dimi's question. And as Rashi notes, even though Abaye came along and answered the question that Rav Dimi posed, he says it is shinuya dechikahu. It's a difficult explanation. You can still ask the original question. Or another way to phrase the question is that the Gemara in Yoma says that Avonot, Pishaim, and Chataim are two, three different things. If that's the case, then Avonot and Pishaim are not synonymous, and then it's not extraneous language anymore. Rather, Avonot are b'mezid, Pishaim are b'mered, and Chataim are b'shogeg. So therefore you have three different categories, you don't have an extraneous language. If you don't have an extraneous language, then you lose that limud of Abaye. And therefore, what Rav Tachlifa, the father of Rav Huna, is saying is that we need this limud of Rabbi Elazar over here, because it answers all of our questions. Ella, meha, this is what you learn. So only something where there is a sin only known by Hashem does Yom Kippurim provide kapara for. Mina, from there you would know, and the jiyuf you would make is that Yom Kippur is only mechaper for avonot where you don't know about it and only Hashem knows about it. That's an Hashem Tolui. About the other ball, if you knew about it beforehand, lo mechaper, it doesn't provide kapara. And that means that if you have knowledge of the avera, then Yom Kippurim can't provide that kapara. Now, if you have knowledge of a safek, that's not knowledge of an avera. And therefore, Yom Kippurim will still provide kapara. That's the Hashem Tolui. And there, Yom Kippur will provide kapara. But for regular Hashemot and Chataot, Yom Kippurim will not provide kapara, because it's not something that is only known lifnei Hashem, but it's something that you know about as well. Okay, we're going to stop here. Five lines down on the top of Chavav Amud Aleph.